You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Hey, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part of this fine production anytime via the phone lines or the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just working hard on the board, on the lines, and the topics we will get to today. In this particular hour, Donald Trump, man, I tell you, this guy just keeps getting more and more untethered, let's just say.
Weirder.
Fascistic? Is that a word?
Sure.
We're going to go with fascistic.
Yeah.
We'll dive into that as well. The Wall Street Journal had a poll of economists look at the economic policies of the vice president and the former president, Donald Trump. And they had their thoughts. I'm going to share that with you as well. As you can imagine, they're probably, let's just say it. Majority of them think Kamala's plan is better, but we'll dive into some of that. And also, of course, the vice president, she has released her medical records and Axios and labels this one. Harris slams Trump's refusal to release his medical records. He probably did release them. He's got a bunch of like French fry grease all over him. So
it's just ketchup smears all over the
place, man. And Diet Coke spills. Vice President Kamala Harris is spotlighting Trump's yet unfulfilled promise to release his medical records, a historic outlier among presidential candidates. Again, this guy is no regular presidential candidate. Most folks would, release their medical records. Most folks would, debate their political opponent in October. Most presidential candidates would go on the 60 Minutes like every presidential candidate has done since I've been born and before them. But this is not one of those candidates. This is Donald Trump. Now, if he wins, Trump would be the oldest president ever inaugurated. Come on! All you Republicans, you're so concerned about Joe Biden. Joe Biden's so old. Man, have you been listening to Trump? I know it's hard. I know even if you listen and read the legacy media, the Times or the Post or some of these other traditional sources of information and news, that maybe they're a little sane-washing. You don't get a full grip of the crazy. Man, but we got a little flavor for you. It's not just me. It's not just Jess. It's actually the guy, Donald Trump, and his craziness. We'll get to some of that. As mentioned, though, Trump be the oldest president ever inaugurated. His campaign, however, has disclosed far less about his health than the White House has about President Biden's, whose fitness and age Trump repeatedly attacked. In August, Trump told CBS News that he would very gladly release his medical records to the public. That still hasn't happened.
Still waiting.
With about 3 weeks to go until election. But of course, he would very gladly release his medical record. We're gonna get the replacement for the Affordable Care Act in 2 to 3 weeks. I promise. It's coming. It's gonna be great. And maybe we could just, take a little bleach, somehow fix the COVID. I mean, Donald Trump is making all sorts of promises, has all sorts of ideas or concepts. So just got to wait. You got to trust him. He'll eventually release his medical records or just like his taxes. He'll release them when the audit's done. Hasn't done that either. There's kind of a trend.
Well, I mean, here. The audits haven't stopped. Well, so.
Yeah, nor have the law breaking, the criming, exactly. He refuses to release his records. Oh, Harris said that. Well, we have some Harris sound on this.
We do.
All right, thank you, Jess. Let's hear the vice president and how healthy she is and how that compares to the old guy.
Aye.
He has no plan for how he would address the needs of the American people. He is only focused on himself. And he's not, but here's the thing, North Carolina, and he's not being transparent with the voters. It makes you wonder, why does his staff want him to hide away? One must question. Are they afraid that people will see that he is too weak and unstable? He refuses to release his medical records. I've done it. Every other presidential candidate in modern era has done it.
Yeah, Trump. Yeah.
Why? Everyone's doing it.
Everyone's doing it. It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
All the cool kids are doing it. Or are you too scared? Are you too unhealthy? Are you too unfit physically, cognitively? Mm-hmm. You know, pick your poison.
Well, remember, he took 3 cognitive tests and he aced them.
Man, woman, television.
Those ones.
Oh, yeah. Real good.
Yeah.
Asked for results of Trump's recent medical examinations, a campaign spokesperson on Monday referred Axios to a nearly year-old letter from his doctor. Come on, a year? A lot of things can happen in a year. Bruce Ehrenwald wrote last November, quote, his physical exams were all well within the normal range, and his cognitive exams were exceptional. Exceptional, man. It's all the weaving. That's exceptional. In addition, his most recent extensive laboratory analysis remains well within normal limits and was even more favorable than prior testing in some of the most significant parameters, most likely secondary to weight reduction. Ooh, maybe he lost a few pounds. Trump's spokesperson also flagged July reports from Rep. Ronnie Jackson, Republican from Texas. You know, Trump's former physician following Trump's recovery from a bullet wound to his ear. I want to reassure the American people and the rest of the world that President Trump is doing extremely well. Calls for Biden to withdraw from the race this summer centered on his age and mental agility. At 78, Donald Trump is now the oldest presidential nominee in U.S. history. And he hasn't release his medical records.
Nor will he.
No, I mean, he won't.
He won't. Because they'd be so damning.
I just think, wouldn't you want to know, Republicans, what you're getting? I mean, maybe you don't care. I mean, I kind of care. You know what I mean? You got to hire someone to do the job, and they're not, you know, physically or mentally capable of doing it. But, of course, Donald Trump could never, ever admit that. Donald Trump would never do what Joe Biden did. Step away for the good of the country. That'd be great if you did, though, wouldn't it? Come on, Don. You can do it.
You can do it. You can step down. But then we've got Vance.
And then it's Vance.
But then it's Vance.
855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Andrew calling in from Detroit. Hey, great game yesterday. Sorry for to hear about our defensive end, man, Aiden Hutchinson, man, he busted his stuff up, man. It looked terrible, Andrew. How you doing, man?
Oh, my God. Just horrible.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, dumb saliva, I'm so sorry it's taking you so long to call you and congratulate you on your new show.
Thanks, man.
I'm calling in to say, and I've called Civic Media many times with different hosts to say you need to fight for voter initiative in Wisconsin. The people of Wisconsin need to be able to collect signatures to put things on the ballot that they want. So I think once this election is over, you need to contact your Democratic members of Congress in the state of Wisconsin and demand from them voter initiative and also the governor. And I know the governor would go along with that. So that's my point.
No, it's a great point, Andrew. And we have had some success. We don't have binding resolutions here in Wisconsin, but we put weed on the ballot not so long ago, and I think that was a big part, at least Scott Walker would tell you, as to one of the reasons the turnout was better, and he lost that election, put Evers in. Andrew, let me ask you, we played in the last hour and previous shows about Donald Trump coming to Detroit, talking to the Detroit Economic Club, and insulting your city, sir, saying that if Kamala Harris gets elected, you know, it's going to turn into an asshole, basically, like Detroit. The whole country is going to turn in like Detroit. You're from Detroit, man. I just want to get your sense on that messaging.
You know, I'm originally from Rhode Island, and where I came from in Rhode Island was rather rural, very small state, but we still had a lot of area. I grew up with only two African-American students in my high school. When I came to Detroit, you can only imagine what I saw. And look now, I've been in Detroit for how many years now? And I love Detroit. I love the people in Detroit. And I just don't get it. You know, what's strange to me is when a white man walks down the street and I'm saying, who that white guy walking down the street?
Yeah, right.
Because I don't see color anymore. So when that orange ape was saying that, I'm pulling my hair out. I just can't. Dom, I don't know if you, I know you're from Michigan originally. I don't know if you've been to Detroit in recent years.
Yeah, man, I was just there. I was at Michigan Central. Ford put like $1 billion into the technology hub down there, man. I mean, the art scene is great. They got the rail. I mean, there's a lot going on there, Andrew. And I love coming not just to Detroit. You know, I got family out in the burbs. But when I come to town, we literally go downtown. We go to Corktown. We go downtown. Like I said, went to the Michigan train station, man. That place is beautiful. They're putting a lot of effort. There's a lot of pride in that city. And for a guy who wants to be president to come into what was once a great, booming, world-class city 100 years ago and just insult people, it's just beside the point, man. Especially since this is the first time, and Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, that actually experienced some growth in population in the city of Detroit.
Yes, people are coming in because of the art scene, because of the music scene, the restaurants here from all over world.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can eat your way through Detroit. Detroit is wonderful. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Everybody, please visit Detroit. And then you can see, too, how voter initiative works. Because of voter initiative, we fixed Roe versus Wade in this state. We're getting the damn roads fixed.
Hey, come on, Andrew. I was driving, and finally, like 75 coming out of Detroit going into the burbs, M59. I mean, they've been working on that thing for 20 years, I swear to God. But it is a glorious highway. I mean, it is Motown. There's a lot of motors. There's a lot of roads. And there's a lot of love in that town. Thank you, Andrew. Love you, man. Love that town. Less so, Donald Trump. Don't insult Detroit, dude. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. You can join us, 855-752-4842. Harris. She's going to sit down with the Foxy Not News. What? I thought she was scared. We'll be right back.
I have concepts of a plan.
Welcome back to the Dom Salve Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can join us on the lines anytime. As mentioned, the vice president apparently has found her strength, her constitution, and has agreed to sit for an interview with the Foxy Don't Call It News. Apparently, the anchor Brett Baer, he announced this today. The interview will air on Wednesday at 6 p.m., during the network's special report newscast and be conducted from the battleground state of Pennsylvania. This week's appearance marks Harris' first sit-down interview on the network ever. She's never been on. The first interview she's done on the Foxy Not News and comes just weeks before the November 5th election, 3 weeks from tomorrow, for those who are keeping track. 500 and some odd hours. I'm like, not who's counting, though. Polls show an incredibly tight race between Harris and Trump that is expected to come down to the results in 7 swing states. Harris has been working to shore up support with male voters and black men in particular, but she has also sought to carve off some conservative voters who may not want to back Trump. There's a few out there. In the latest in a series of high-profile national media interviews, Harris has sat down for in recent days, including ABC's The View and The Howard Stern Show. Trump, meanwhile, has appeared on a number of conservative podcasts and internet shows, in addition to his regular appearance on Fox. And over the weekend, he teased a potential chat with popular podcaster Joe Rogan.
Oh, goody.
I thought Joe was not voting for Trump now. Well, we'll see. We'll see. That'll be fun. Sure. Harris has for weeks been pressuring Trump, who frequently appears on Fox, to participate in another debate. An offer the former president has repeatedly declined. On those polls, again, they seem to be tightening, but you know, this is the day. We'll see what happens. And then finally, of course, the votes are really what matters. And we have 3 weeks and a day to get there. I did hear last week former President Barack Obama talking about black men voting for Harris and basically, you know, stand up and do it and, you know, don't let the fact that she's a woman, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, the gender thing is a thing, to my opinion, not just with black men, but with men in general. It's a thing. It's just a thing. I wish it wasn't a thing, and hopefully every year that goes by, it becomes less and less of a thing. But I think it's something that needs to be addressed and articulated and discussed. You know, Harris is a capable, intelligent, lifelong public servant, capable in doing the job, and just creamed the former guy in the debate so bad, he doesn't want to step up and do another one.
Well, no, who wants to be beaten so badly twice?
By a woman. By a black woman. but I got to tell you, man, I sense this, and I have no empirical data. I just know how people are, and you know, it's probably better than it was 20 years ago. It's better than it was 40 years ago, and hopefully, it will be better. 20 years from now, next year. The fact that some folks may consider or be concerned or be hesitant, let's just call it, about voting for a fellow human being simply because of their gender is strange to me. And I think absolutely lacking in thought. Because, of course, what we want, what I want, what I think most people want are the best people to do the job the best they can, regardless of they're male or female or transgendered or whatever the case may be, the best person for the job. And we have only two people that are up for this job right now. And that's Donald Trump, who's scared to debate Kamala Harris again, who's scared to go on to 60 Minutes and be fact-checked to his face like he should be everywhere he goes on everything he says. He won't release his medical records. He won't release his taxes. The guy's a 34-time convicted felon. He has sentencing coming up the end of November. He has trials in other cases. Should he lose this election and not put his finger on the scale that he will go to trial on for his efforts to overturn the election, a RICO Act in Georgia, for hoarding state secrets at his pad in Florida, and lying about
them in the bathroom,
whether or not he gave them back or whether or not he even had them for over a year. He had plenty of opportunity to do that, to defraud the city, the state of New York. And of course, to incite a violent attack and insurrection on our country and to make every effort to throw out my vote. You want to make it personal? That's my vote he's trying to throw out. My legitimate vote that Donald Trump, and not just Donald Trump, if it were just Donald Trump, he'd be nobody. He'd be nothing. If he didn't have the money, he'd be an old man sitting on a soapbox in the park yelling at the clouds. And if it weren't for the support of the other Republicans or the other MAGAs now that have left that party and become a MAGA, if it weren't for their support and their efforts to back him up, he wouldn't be doing this either. So it's not just a Donald Trump thing. And no matter what happens in this election, that mindset, that this new reality we are living in, isn't going to just go away. I expect Donald Trump should be roundly defeated for any number of reasons. But I've been wrong. You know what I mean? There's no guarantees in life.
Except for death and taxes.
Death and taxes. Well, death, but maybe you don't pay the taxes. You'll pay them when
if you're rich enough, then.
You'll pay them when you die. You know, I want my last check to bounce, Jess. 855-752-4842. We have some callers, but be patient. I want to give you some time. Yes, Kamala Harris is going to be on Fox on Wednesday. And I expect she'll do a bang-up job. I fully expect that she'll handle Bret Baier with class and grace and provide adequate answers. Now, you may not like them, but she will be there. Will Donald Trump go to 60 Minutes? I mean, I think this is, and I'm not comparing the legacy and history of 60 Minutes to Fox Don't Call It News, but as far as what one would consider an adversarial, perhaps, interview, I mean, this is, the Fox News is for Kamala Harris is probably the 60 Minutes for Donald Trump, if you want to compare them, right? And what do you see? You see the brave and capable vice president going to Fox News. You don't see the orange man going to 60 Minutes.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We're going to get to the most recent crazy Trump from over the weekend. But I want to throw this one out there as we wrap up our conversation about Vice President Kamala Harris. As mentioned in the last segment, she will be going to the Fox Don't Call It News interview with Bret Baier this Wednesday at 6 p.m. I believe that might be Eastern, so check your local listings if you want to check that out. She will be going into a what I would consider a challenging, perhaps, interview, one that might be comparable to, for example, Donald Trump going to 60 Minutes. She's doing it. She's capable. This is her job. She's asking for your votes. Donald Trump, not capable, not doing any job, doesn't want your vote, or will take your vote, but that's all he wants, and that's it. Doesn't care about you, cares about Donald Trump. Now, that being said, The Hill reporting that David Plouffe and this guy, I'll tell you in a minute, David Plouffe, he's the current senior advisor to the Harris-Walz campaign. He was the manager of Obama's 2008 campaign. According to The Hill, he stressed how close the presidential race is and said polls showing either candidate winning by a significant margin should be dismissed. And here's a quote. So I really can't speak to the public polls. I spend very little time looking at them, he said. I just don't. And most of them are horse crap, he said. Some of them may be close, but generally I'd say any poll that shows Kamala Harris up 4 to 5 points in one of these seven states, ignore it. Any point that shows Donald Trump up like that, ignore it. This thing's very close. It's a margin of error race. Now, Plouffe said he would rather be in Harris than Trump at this stage of the race, although it remains very close. Said he was hopeful for the Democrats' chances, looking at Harris's strength among the Republicans and Republican-leaning independent voters. We heard that. We talked about that today over the weekend, or actually on Friday. More Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin have endorsed Kamala Harris. Plouffe concludes, I think Harris may surprise at the end of the day with either straight-up Republicans or independents who are essentially Republicans. We're seeing a continued strength there, and that matters a great deal, given how big those cohorts are. But listen, I think it may be that our internal data is exactly right. But if I were to hazard a guess, I think it may be undercounting her strength among Republican-leaning independents. So we won't put that in the bank, but let's hope that's right. Plouffe said he thinks Trump's big challenge is that he is incredibly reliant on new voters, voters who have not yet voted in some time or voters who have never voted Republican before. Quote, as we look at the race, we give him credit for doing a good job there, Plouffe said, because my view on Trump, basically, to break it down, is this. If you think he's going to get 100 votes in a precinct, you probably just assume he gets 110. So you can win a race where he overperforms. According to the Decision Desk Hill's national polling average, Harris leading by 2.9 percentage points nationally, but of course comes down to the races. David Plouffe, I can appreciate that, looking at the numbers and their internal numbers. And again, saying anything showing Trump up by 4 or 5 or Harris up 4 or 5, kind of ignore that. But here's the thing about David Plouffe. This time of year, all the surrogates come on. You probably hear a lot of new voices on the Civic Media Radio Network from all the surrogates from the Democratic Party and others coming out and talking about the candidate and why Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are the ones to lead us to the promised land, right? Well, it's that time of year, and they come out in droves. And in the last election cycle, two cycles ago, when Trump won, Plouffe came on our show and told us it was guaranteed 100% that Clinton was going to win.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Ugh.
Oh, man. So, you know, just, you know, grain of salt, people. That's all I'm saying. You know, and I've made proclamations in the past as well. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes you just got to say something to have something to talk about. So I would give that caveat regarding Plouffe. He told us Clinton was going to win 100% guarantee. That being said, I don't see how Harris is not up by 4 to 5 points. For real. It is really something to behold. So let's compare and contrast. We played a little bit of Kamala Harris releasing her medical records, and she was jabbing Trump a little bit. But we also have some sound of Donald Trump from over the weekend.
Unfortunately, yes, we do.
Let's hear some of the, you know, we talk about his speaking. His speech is getting bad. And sometimes when he gets tired, he gets a little slurry.
Very slurry. Yeah.
Cut number two, he's talking about these. He's gonna fix the deficit. Let's hear that one.
Sure.
Okay.
I will very quickly deflate. We are going to take inflation and we are going to deflate it. We are going to deflate inflation. We are going to defeat inflation.
We will very quickly
deflate. We're going to deflate, and he does this. So this is a tell for him. When he speaks incorrectly, he'll pause and kind of reset, which is probably good instead of just working your way through it. But no, you're not deflating anything. And inflation, it has come down quite a bit, actually, quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not clear what the policies are of Donald Trump that would further deflate the inflation. We're going to deflate the inflation. But as mentioned, the Wall Street Journal has some ideas. We'll get to that after some of the Trump sound. Again, you can join us 855-752-4842. I mean, the rambling, I don't know if I want to, is this cut three? Is this all over the board,
just,
right?
Just as soon as you want it gone, tell me.
Okay.
We'll make it go bye-bye.
Let's hear cut three.
Sure.
China is destroying the automobile business of Europe.
So I'm just trying to understand how you're going to pay for all of this no tax on stuff. And you said that there's a lot of fat in government.
Maria Bartiromo.
I gave you an answer. Growth.
We're going to
grow.
Yes.
Grow away.
We're going to grow.
Seen before.
Okay.
And we're going to have tremendous jobs, and we're going to have companies coming
tremendous
in left
jobs.
And right, and they're going to be building factories. They're going to take over empty hulks that are all over the place from companies that left.
Hulks.
But you've also said that there's a lot of fat in government that you would want to slim
incredible
down.
Incredible fat. So
what agencies would you want to shut down?
Well, let me have you ask another person that, because I'm going to have Elon Musk.
Leon?
He is dying to do this.
What?
You know, he's a great business guy.
What are you
actually
talking about?
You think of him for science and rockets, and every time I think he's telling me about a new screw that was developed, he's developed a new screw.
New
screws
screw?
Are difficult.
New screw.
And
very difficult.
It's made out of titanium, and it's so exciting. But you know what?
Exciting screw.
He's a great business guy, and he's a great cost cutter. You've seen that. And he said, I could cut costs without affecting anybody.
So he will be in the cabinet.
Not in the cabinet. He doesn't want to be in the cabinet. He just wants to be in charge of cost cutting.
He just wants position, to be in charge of things.
Secretary of cost cutting.
The czar of cost cutting?
Elon wants to do that.
Secretary of cost cutting, but it's not in the cabinet.
People. He's running a big business. You know, he can't just say, oh, I think I'll go into the cabinet. You know, other people can. He can't. But Elon's a little bit different in that sense. And besides that, I want him to send the rocket up to Mars. He said, he's made me a promise. He'll get to Mars before the end of my administration, which will be long before, hopefully, China or Russia. I created a Space Force.
The question was about cutting costs.
Air Force. Air Force was the last. It was 81 years ago, and I did Space Force.
Space Force!
It was so funny. He didn't understand. And we tried to end it, and the military went down on him. You wouldn't believe it. It's now going to be one of our most important things. We were getting killed in space by China and by Russia, and now we're leading in space.
So what are you going to cut?
So what are you?
We're leading in space. Space Force.
Space Force.
Space Force. Of course, Space Force wants to go to Mars because there's no extradition treaties there. I mean, okay. But there's more. There's more grocery. Let's hear.
Yeah, let's hear about grocery. It's a word, you know.
Yes, let's hear that. Four.
This will rapidly drive prices down, lower interest rates, and put more money into the pockets of American consumers.
Nope.
It'll also bring your grocery bill way down. I have more complaints on grocery. The word grocery, you know, it's sort of simple word, but it sort of means like everything you eat. The stomach is speaking. It always does.
That is a man who has never bought groceries in his life.
Just the word grocery. It's a very simple word, but it means it's so very important. Groceries, you know, food,
yeah.
Your belly, food, eating,
food,
is important.
Eat, consume.
Yes, must eat, must consume.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what, dude? The guy just talks to talk. We played the insult to Detroit. Let's not do that again. Let's play cut 10. His feelings about being nice to women.
Yeah, okay, sure.
No, I don't want to be nice, you know. Somebody said, you should be nicer. Women won't like it. I said, I don't care.
And the failing nation, cut 11, please.
You got it.
Yeah.
Our country is a failing nation. This is a failing nation. We're failing at the borders. We're failing at everything we're doing.
Everything. We just suck.
I mean, clearly, this is a man
you
who
suck.
Loves his country.
Everybody sucks. This whole place sucks. And we're all going to die. Vote for me.
Inspiring.
I am so inspired. This is amazing.
Oh, wow.
This is amazing. And it's going to be so much better under our glorious leader, Donald Trump. The Obamacare repeal and replace montage. We've talked about this quite a bit. Let's throw that one out there, too, please. I believe that's cut number 9.
Real change begins with immediately repealing and replacing Obamacare.
With what?
We will be able to immediately
be
repeal
don't worry about
and
it.
Replace Obamacare.
Immediately.
With the immediately.
Republican House and Senate, we will immediately repeal and replace the disaster known as Obamacare.
I will ask Congress to convene a special session so we can repeal and replace. So we're going to do repeal and replace. Remember, repeal and replace. Repeal
yeah, we remember.
Mm-hmm.
Be very
mm-hmm.
proud of what we put forth having to do with health care.
Very proud.
That begins with immediately repealing and replacing the disaster known as Obamacare.
They kept saying it over and over again. And it will be such an honor for me, for you, and for everybody in
such
this country.
Such an honor.
We as a party must fulfill that solemn promise to the voters of this country to repeal and replace.
And what about that plan? He has a concept.
I have concepts of a plan.
Yeah. That was most recently at the debate that he got squashed by
Kamala
Harris.
Yeah, I got the extended clip if you wanted to hear about him actually being pressed on that.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, let's just.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan.
Yeah.
I'm not president right now.
But you were.
But if. We come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that.
Yeah.
And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
Yes, you'll be hearing about it in 2 weeks. I swear to God. My homework is done. I just left it at home.
I left it on the printer.
It's crazy.
The dog ate it.
I forgot my thumb drive. I don't even know what's happening. My internet went down. On a quick side note here, the Washington Post reports J.D. Vance's mom got health coverage under Trump. Two paragraphs. Here's what he said during the vice presidential debate. Members of my family actually got private health insurance, at least for the first time, under Donald Trump's leadership. Now, Vance added that his family member switched off of Medicaid, the government health insurance program for low-income Americans, while Trump was in office between 2017 and 2021. Here's a little caveat.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was referring to his mother, who purchased private health insurance through the Affordable Care Act insurance marketplace run by Ohio after she overcame substance abuse challenges, became financially stable, and subsequently made too much money to remain on Medicaid. Vance was also invoking a cousin in Florida who obtained private insurance for the first time through the state's marketplace.
Dude?
So you're saying that was, quote unquote, Donald Trump's leadership, or at least during that leadership, it was so great during that time that your mom got clean and got on to the ACA. Oh, wait, he didn't say that, though.
No, he didn't say
the ACA. He said private health insurance. And this was brought up immediately during the debate. And it took this long, I guess this is a couple days old now, October 12th, for the Washington Post to specify and articulate that. Thank you for getting around to it. Yeah, so when J.D. Vance talks all proud about his mother overcoming addiction, getting off of Medicaid, and getting private insurance, what he really means is, thank you, Obama, for the Affordable Care Act. 855-752-4842, the worst thing Trump said, coming next. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines or on the text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Donald Trump, I believe this was with the Maria Bartiromo over the weekend, saying some really, really dark fascistic statement. Let's play cut number one, please, Jess.
You got it.
Are you expecting chaos on Election Day?
No, I don't think so. Not from the side that votes for Trump.
But I'm just wondering if these outside agitators will start up on Election Day. Let's say you win. I mean, let's remember, you've got 50,000 Chinese nationals in this country in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You've got people on the terrorist watch list, 350 in the last couple of years. You've got, like you said, 13,000 murderers and 15,000 rapists.
Right.
What are you expecting? Joe Biden said he doesn't think it's going to be a peaceful election day.
Well, he doesn't have any idea what's happening in all fairness. He spends most of his day sleeping.
Kind of mumbly there.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within.
Huh?
Not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics.
Huh.
And I think they're the and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military, because they can't let that happen.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Deploy the military because they can't let that happen. A Washington Post continues on this line of thought. When asked for additional clarification about what Trump meant in his interview, campaign spokesman Stephen Chung equated the prospect of unspecified efforts by the left during the elections with a recent arrest of an Afghan man in Oklahoma who was accused of plotting an election day attack in the United States in the name of the Islamic State group. President Trump is 100% correct. Those who seek to undermine democracy, sowing chaos in our elections, are a direct threat. Wow.
I mean, yeah.
And he goes on. He goes on. Like,
no.
You think he'd be reflecting like what we did, you know, during January 6th.
No,
but
no.
Just like the terrorist from Afghanistan that was arrested for plotting multiple attacks on Election Day. The enemy from within, Trump argued in a later part of the interview with Bartiromo, is more dangerous than China, Russia, and all those countries. He added, some politicians also fell into this category. So This is what I'm telling you here. He's down for what? Releasing the hounds. He's going to call in the National Guard or even the active military. Here's a quote from the former president. The thing that's tougher to handle are these lunatics that we have inside, like Adam Schiff. Now, Adam Schiff, a member of the House, was lead prosecutor in Trump's first impeachment trial, served as a top-ranking Democrat on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence throughout Trump's term. For years, the congressman has been a frequent target of Trump's attack. I call him the enemy from within, Trump said of Schiff, repeating a term he used against the congressman on Saturday during a rally in Coachella, California. During the speech, in a state Trump is almost certain to lose, the former president repeated falsehoods about migrants, sought to portray the country in apocalyptic terms. He noted the elections on January 5th will be Liberation Day, compared the United States to an occupied country, also suggested that a heckler would later get the hell knocked out of her. Yes, that's the protector.
Oh, we're bringing that back.
Yeah. Remember he's going to be a protector?
He's a protector of
as
women.
As long as you're not heckling him.
Right.
Don't make me do this.
Don't make me hit you.
Don't make me hit you. Don't make me do this. In a statement, Harris campaign senior spokesman Ian Sams said Trump is suggesting that his fellow Americans are worse enemies than foreign adversaries, and he's saying he would use the military against them. Taken with his vow to be a dictator on day one, calls for the termination of the Constitution, and plans to surround himself with sycophants who will give him unchecked, unprecedented power if he returns to office. This should alarm every American who cares about their freedom and security. What Donald Trump is promising is dangerous, and returning him to office is simply a risk Americans cannot afford. Trump's use of the military in American soil was tested to its limits during his presidency, with Trump pushing to deploy military personnel amid the 2020 protests after the killing of George Floyd. He also sent National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. So believe him, folks, when he tells you these things. But I would also believe Mark Milley. General Mark Milley, one of Trump's top generals who served as the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. So he's in charge of the whole crew, man. They got the Navy there and the Marines there. And they got Army there and Space Force. And then they got the Joint Chief of Staff, chairman, and that's Milley. And Milley says Trump is fascist to his core. He was appointed by Trump in 2019, served as the highest ranking officer in the U.S. Armed Forces until his retirement last year. I mean, does this guy have any credibility? I'm just asking, folks. His remarks appear in Watergate journalist Bob Woodward's latest book, War. Man, Woodward, lining him up and knocking him down, he's bringing out more and more to this. Now, according to Woodward, a senior Department of Justice lawyer, said at the time, Milley had requested a meeting with incoming Attorney General Merrick Garland to urge him to investigate domestic violent extremism and far-right militia movements. In 2023, Milley spoke directly to Woodward, telling him that no one has ever been as dangerous to this country as the former president. Quote, do you see what this man is? He is the most dangerous person ever. I had suspicions when I talked to you about his mental decline and so forth, but now I realize he's a total fascist. He is now the most dangerous person in this country. Fascist to the core, the general declared. General Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's what he's saying to Woodward. Don't you maybe take that into consideration when you vote? Maybe you should. Thank you to Nick Ramos, executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Appreciate all you. Thank you, Jess. We'll be back tomorrow. Tune in.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.